We're so human that we cry out to the Lord and use a portion of a verse that we got a hold of a long time ago, speaking of Moses, when he was called to deliver the children of Israel. And then he received opposition and he said, "This thing is not of mine own mind." And I often use that, seeking the Lord, that in my human thinking that I would not follow my own thoughts, but it would be the thoughts of the Lord. And there are times that I come to the service and I almost doubt and question, is this really for this hour? And I know that I don't have anything else. And I am trusting that the Lord will add to it, take away from it, cause it to be for us today. We're still fairly new in the year of 2019. The majority of this year is before us. A very small portion has now passed. I think it's an important year. I think it's going to be, if time goes on. Just as the scripture says that we know not what a day will bring forth, and we have said we don't know what a year will. But I know one thing. I know we're going to have to fight the good fight of faith to lay hold on eternal life. You're going to have to fight this year, and you're going to have to fight possibly things that you haven't fought in the past. I want to speak to you just a little bit concerning the commandments of God. And when we say that, we may think of the Ten Commandments. Those commandments were given directly from God. We all know that they were written in stone, and that they were written by the finger of God himself. God does not take lightly in his commandments. His commandments, they speak of who he is, and they speak of how he thinks and what he sees and what he knows that you and I may not know or understand. Commandments are, they're actually a divine rule. People don't really like rules. And some people don't want to think that the Word of God is a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. But it is. The Ten Commandments begin with thou shalt and thou shalt not. So there are things that we are to do and there are things we are not to do. So it is a divine rule that he desires for his people at least to observe, because we know it is his will. Commandments are also moral laws. And moral laws are for you and me to determine or understand right from wrong. It's to teach us something. It's to determine standards of what is accepted of God and not accepted of God. many things are accepted of man that God does not accept. So you and I have to know and understand and read. And that's why the scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God. We need to know the word of the Lord. We need to understand what His commandments are. And the reason is we're going to be judged by the word of God. We're not going to be judged by what people think or what I think, but we're going to be judged by what we know. And the scripture says that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. So as I was thinking of the different laws of the Old Testament, I found that the New Testament was simply an extension of the old laws. Some people think that we need to only know the New Testament. But there is so much in the Old Testament. The scripture calls it a schoolmaster to bring us to the new or to Christ. There's so much in the old that will help us to understand the new. And so we need to be aware and study the old. We don't live by the law, but we understand that Christ came and fulfilled the law. He said, I did not. The scripture says in Matthew 5:17-19, part of it, it said, Jesus said it. I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but I came to destroy. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So all of this is maybe not worded in the new. The commandments of the New Testament may not be worded so emphatically, but all of the commandments are just sort of interwoven together and given to us, and we have to have the commandments of the new to make heaven. We have to have it. As I was meditating on these thoughts, I found that it is essential that I understand how to make heaven, because we're all headed to that judgment seat. And I need to understand what will be required of me as I stand before Him. I believe there are some very basic principles and that are even in the new, that they come from the old and they parallel with the new. So I want to give you just a few commandments this morning of the New Testament. And they would be the commandments of Jesus Christ, because He is the law. The first commandment that was given is, ye must be born again. The only way that you and I will make heaven is to be born again. And Jesus said it. It wasn't something from the old. What was in the old was that God provided them a way through the sacrificial blood of animals to find salvation, if you will. But now we have the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave the supreme sacrifice and offered the way. And then He says, now for you to make heaven, you'll have to pass through the blood. You'll have to be born again. So there is a commandment that you and I need to repent of all of our sins. I certainly was blessed by the testimony of our brother here. When you've been saved a while, maybe that testimony doesn't come out with tender tears. But we've all been saved from something. And we've all been saved from a pit. We've been saved from ourselves. Where would we be today if we had not yielded ourselves and taken the plan of God that He offered so freely to all of mankind? Many are called, He said, but few are chosen. The Lord knows He's offering it today to all. Thank the Lord. So it's a commandment. In our salvation, in receiving our salvation, there is a portion of a scripture in Isaiah 55 and 7, and it says, "Rend your heart, then turn unto the Lord your God." I'm just going to give you that portion of that verse. And then I'm going to go over into the New Testament and speak of its parallel. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. We'll turn there. And it says, "Godly repentance," or sorrow. "Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation." The rending of our heart. We go beyond the surface, you might say. We hear of those who say, "Just believe in Christ and you will be saved." Well, we know that the word says that the devils believe. So believing, it has to go beyond just believing. I have got to come before the Lord. I need to rend my heart. That's from the old. And the new is to come before Him with godly sorrow, because it works the repentance. And it also says it is not like the sorrow of the world. Now, the sorrow of the world might be only to be sorry for the moment, or maybe because I was caught, now I'm going to repent. But when you and I have been brought to our knees, and we know we would be lost for all eternity, and yet there's been a way provided for me that I can escape a devil's hell, He's made that way of escape, and I'm going to avail myself of that. And the very knowledge that I am separated from God should create in me a rending of my heart and should cause me to have a godly sorrow, a godly repentance. I once worked with an individual who was facing death. I worked with this individual for some time. I heard her prayers. They were prayers of superficial repentance. She would not change. After she would pray her superficial repentance, she continued to be as she was with her family. She was getting closer and closer to her passing. I had a responsibility. I had to speak firmly. None of us like to speak firmly. But if it's a matter of life and death for eternity. So one day the Lord helped me to be able to say, You're not praying a prayer of godly repentance. It got her attention. Now, if I had left her alone, I want to tell you, I feel I would have had blood on my hands today. But she listened to me. She pursued to understand what godly repentance meant. I believe she did it. I believe she's in heaven. And I thank the Lord for that confidence. But you and I, we can understand when we feel guilty. Have you ever felt guilty? Even of something that you've done after you're saved, we don't handle that any other way except having a real sorrow of the heart. Why? Because we want to please God. We want the blessing of the Lord here in this life, in our walk with the Lord. We want Him to be pleased with us, and we want Him to hear our prayers. He doesn't hear our prayers if we're walking after the flesh. Unless we walk after the Spirit and we repent of an error. Lord, I spoke a little harshly then. Or Lord, help me. I am sorry. Oh Lord, He has forgiveness for us. As we're going to see, there's a scripture in Isaiah 59 and 20, and it's just a portion of a scripture, but I don't know that I had read this one before, and it said that the Redeemer will come to those that turn from their transgressions, saith the Lord. I read that, and there's other words in there of Israel and all of that, but I wanted the meat of this particular passage, and the Lord will come to those that turn from their transgressions. And the Lord said it. Yes. And I looked at that and I said, that is the beauty of salvation. That's the blessing of salvation. I have a part to play. Definitely He's going to play His part. He's going to come because I have repented. I have turned from my transgression. And then I thought of a complimentary New Testament commandment. And Jesus said it. He said, come unto me. You come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Thank the Lord.
And as I read those scriptures, I thought of the scripture over in Hebrews that said, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Oh, the rewards of salvation, the rewards of forgiveness, the rewards of the Redeemer coming to me when I've done my part is far beyond any reward of this world.
Yes.
And then I thought of the scripture that said, that we must believe that He is. We must believe that He is God, and that the commandments that He gives us, they're not grievous. They're precious to us. They are not sent to just crush us or sent to make us feel miserable. He's desiring to give you and me eternal life through the Word of God. So that's a little portion of what we had in our mind, bringing us to what the Word says now about the first and the great commandment. Commandments, He is saying, I want you to be willing to observe my commandments, to do them. And the first and the great commandment, as we all will know, is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind. Another scripture says all of our strength. He desires that we respond to His love. If He is so willing to care for us that when we repent, He forgives, how He treats us afterwards, how does He treat us? After He has forgiven you of your sins, after He has saved you, does He bring it up to you all the time? The scripture says He does not. That He remembers it no more. I am so thankful for that. I may remember it, and you may remember it, but He does not.
Thank the Lord.
And that's hard for us to comprehend. But He wants us to also cast it so completely on Him that we will not be tormented by those sins anymore. But it's the beauty of it all is that He's so willing to forgive when we humble ourselves and have godly repentance. So that is, the scripture says, it is the first and the great commandment. Now there's many commandments we will not be able to even read today for the sake of time. But there's a few. And in that same verse, it says that the second great commandment is very much like the first. And it has to do with your relationship with your brother, your sister, your neighbor. It says to love them. The scripture tells us we're to love one another just like He loved us. How did He love you? What did He do for you? Lord, help us to love one another. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then the last part of that verse says, on these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. Everything from the Old Testament that was just simply a strong thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do that and just a rigid law, it comes over into the new. And because Christ fulfilled the law and because God is the very essence of love, He wants you and me to love Him because He first loved us and then turn around and love each other in the same way. And so all of the commandments that Jesus gives us, it hinges on these two. So I'm going to read you a few verses about love. In James, the second chapter, verse 8, we won't turn there and read it. We'll just give a little quote on that because it says basically the same thing. It says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And it called that one the royal law. Isn't that a name for the law? Royal, princely, kingly. It's the highest law. It's a royal law. And we could then include the scripture, the commandment, because it starts out with an imperative sentence. It doesn't say who the subject is, but we understand it is you. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. It's a commandment. It's a commanding sentence. And so it goes right along with how I love others. I should do it like I want to be loved, or how I love even myself. And then in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not, knoweth not God, For God is love. So, if we love our brother, that's how much we love God. How much I love others depends, or it doesn't depend. It relates to how much I love God. I know God by my love for my brother. Then I'm going to Romans, the 13th chapter, and I'm just going to read two verses there, verses 8 and verse 10. Verse 8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." There are people that gets this a little bit twisted up and thinks that no one should have a loan, should be in debt. But that's not what it's talking about, money. God is saying don't be in debt. Don't be a debtor of love to anyone. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. The very law that God fulfilled, you and I fulfill it when we love one another. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is again the fulfilling of the law. Christ came, he fulfilled the law. He didn't condemn the law. He was the essence of the law. But now he's wanting you and me to fulfill the law also to one another. So we have a commandment to repent. We have a commandment to love. So we connect now with the next commandment. So let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And I hope no one is feeling as though, well, I already know all of this. I think we need to be reminded as we go into this year to the things that we may face for this year. So in Matthew, the 6th chapter, I'm going to look at part of the Lord's Prayer. The disciples had come to Jesus and they said, "Teach us how to pray." And so he gave them a little example of prayer. But he said in verse 12, "And forgive us our debts, as we forgive those or our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." When Jesus finished this passage, the verse 14 is what he continued with. As he spoke to his disciples, he said, "If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." That's a law. And you and I cannot make heaven without it. We must have the repentance. We must have the love of God. But we must also be able to forgive trespasses. In Mark, the 18th chapter, there's something else that tells us about forgiveness. We know not when we will have to repent and show love even to our enemy or forgive. But we want to make heaven. And if that is the fulfilling of the law for you and me, in order for us to have eternal life, we need to learn and seek God for forgiveness for others. So the the 11th chapter of Mark, verse 25. These are Jesus' words also. And he said, when ye stand praying, forgive. When we have a grudge against anyone, or we hold something that's been in the past, and we want to pray, Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. Don't let that thing stand in your way. Don't let that thing hinder your prayers. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. It's the law. It's the law of the New Testament. And now we're turning to Matthew 18, and we want to give you a little parable, and we'll not read the whole part for the sake of time, but we're familiar with it. And it starts at verse 21, and it actually goes to the end of the chapter. But Peter came to Jesus, and he said, how often should I forgive my brother? Till seven times? Is seven times enough? You and I might think seven times is enough. And Jesus answered him and said, no, it's 70 times seven. 490 times, and we might say in a year. He was asking for how much in a day. And that is very hard for us to comprehend. But do you want to make heaven? Yes. We want to make heaven. It's not worth it to miss heaven, to hold a grudge. And then Jesus went into a parable. He told about a king. And he was taking the accounts, and he found one that owed him 10,000 talents. And there was no way that that man could pay his debt. And so the Lord was going to command his family to be sold and to pay the debt. And the servant, verse 26, he fell down and worshiped and said, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord was moved with compassion. And then he loosed him and forgave him the whole debt. I've added a word there. But the same servant went, and he found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him, and he took him by the throat, and he said, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servants did the same thing he did. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But he would not, and he cast him into the prison till he would pay the debt. Other fellow servants observed this, and they went and told the Lord. And the Lord, the reaction is what we don't want. I believe that's why the Lord is sending the message today. We're facing a new year. We don't know what trials and what tests that we're going to have. But I can almost guarantee you're going to meet places that you're going to have to forgive. You're going to have to keep your heart clear before the Lord. Don't be guilty of what this servant did to his fellow servant. Such a small price. And yet, he owed a debt he could not pay. 10,000 talents. And what the Lord said in verse 32 is that he had called him. He said to him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all of the debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou have had compassion on the fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? I think that's why we started out this morning with godly repentance and how that he just willingly comes and forgives and forgets and just, we're still his child. He treasures us. He helps us. He shows us love. He loves us before we loved him. But love was the fulfilling of the law. And when we love one another, we're going to be willing to forgive one another. I don't want to be such as this servant. Look at the price he paid. Verse 34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And he's verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. You want to go to heaven? You'll have to repent with godly sorrow. You'll have to love because God loved us first. And you'll have to forgive because he forgave us of a debt we could not pay. There is no debt or offense that is as large as what God forgave me of. None. It doesn't matter if I suffer my whole life through. It wasn't enough. I can only forgive and be forgiven. It's the law. It's the commandments. May the Lord speak to us and prepare us. I believe that he is preparing us for what is in our path. He's wanting to give us what he has given. He wants us to do to others as he has done to us. Pray for me.